Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast, where today we are getting together to discuss why using mortifier to prepare a cricket pitch is a bad idea. I am Jack Hope, and today I'm joined by Ross Legg. How are you doing, Ross?
I'm fine and dandy, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. And Max Roe Brown, how are you doing, Max?
Yeah, very well. Thank you, Jack.
First questions first then, boys. What are you doing this weekend?
Not what I was planning.
Yeah, the test match is over. England capitulated, lost by 10 wickets to India in Ahmedabad. In the third test, I beg your pardon, of the India v England series. This is our second and final daily show summarizing the action
picked a good test to try it out, didn't we? Ease ourselves into it.
Yeah. From a workload perspective, it's been very good. From a cricket perspective, less good. Before we get into, you know, the actual cricket and stuff, Ross, do you want to really quickly just summarise what our listeners, viewers, people who read the transcripts should be doing?
Yep, you should be subscribing to us on YouTube and following us on Instagram and Twitter at The Cricket Pod. As always, get involved, leave us some comments and talk to us on Twitter. We will get back to you. As Jack says, we've got nothing else to do this weekend.
Max, let's get into the cricket. You're cricket summariser for the next minute. Can you tell us about all of the action that happened on day two?
Well, it should be fairly easy because there wasn't a whole lot that went on in the space of less than a day, but I'll do my best. We started the day India 13 runs behind and 7 wickets in hand in the first innings. And we ended the day with the game finished. So that tells you just how quickly things moved on. It started looking a little ominous for England until Rohit Sharma inexplicably missed the ball while trying to sweep, and then it just sort of all went a bit weird. Joe Root became the master spinner, and we thought that Ross had actually called it. Rostradamus, with his prediction that miracles do happen and England will be back in the test, proven correct. And until England came out and promptly reminded us that would require them to bat. Fast forward about half an hour, and we were all out for 80, and Rohit and Gill cantered home.
I feel tired. That's my main emotion after those play.
The thing about Test cricket is it's really good to have in the background if you're doing something else. And that was impossible today.
Yes,
because
indeed.
I was not background watching.
Before we get into some of the factors that influenced the speed of the game, shall we talk about some of the positives? And namely here, shall we talk about Ravichandran, Ashwin?
Yeah, or Ravichandra, as Graham Swan likes to call him.
Oh, Graham Swan. Let's not talk about Graham Swan ever. so he took his 400th wicket of his career. That moves him into 16th place on the all-time list of wicket takers. He's probably on course for top 10, maybe even top 5. Jofra Archer was his 400th victim, and what a victim to pick up for that landmark. Ross, how good was Ashwin today? Was it an all-time great performance? Talk us through Ashwin getting to 400.
Well, I think with Ashwin, I mean, we've been a big fan of him on the podcast for, well, since we started the podcast. And we said in the preview shows and even yesterday's Daily Show that Ravi Ashwin is going to be a massive part of whatever series and whatever win India ended up with. He's just such a wily bastard, isn't he? Like, he literally can bowl seam up. He made Ollie Pope look like he'd never played cricket before, which was absolutely hilarious. And I think just the fact that he has Ben Stokes as the bunny, just as his bunny, winds England fans up more than anything else. So it's actually quite an entertaining thing just to watch him against England.
Yeah, he was good. That dismissal against Pope, Max, as a Surrey fan, that must have made you a little bit sad.
Yeah, it was a little painful to watch, but it was a cracking delivery because the drift he got on the ball, the dip and drift was what did for Pope. He got done in the air, and you could see it in the replay that it was just a masterful piece of bowling to a man who didn't know what on earth he was doing to try and negate it. A perfect storm.
Who's it? Was it Dan Weston on our show the other week who was talking about how off spinners don't necessarily have a huge role to play in the game other than being quite good against left-handers? I mean, I think the miraculous thing about Ashwin is that he looks like kind of an orthodox off spinner. But because of sort of his mind and his ability to vary what he does so extremely, he kind of transcends that pigeonholing of what an off spinner should be. And it's just a threat to every single batter that he bowls to. I guess the next question for Ashwin, on 400 wickets now, I think he's 34 years old. Can he get up to sort of 500 and break into the top 5 wicket takers of all time, Ross?
I'm just not sure there'll be enough test cricket to play. I mean, if every game finishes within a day and a half, he's going to struggle to... He might take most of those wickets, to be perfectly honest, but it's going to be difficult for him to get up to the kind of...
If they can manage to start squeezing test cricket into a day and a half, Ross, you could get through quite a few in the space of a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I think you're completely right. Well, it's that bit.
I think 1,000 could be on, actually.
Well, England can still prepare their green tops. And unfortunately, Ashwin's not going to get wickets on a green top, is he? It would just be Jimmy Anderson and Broad carrying on the mantle.
Hey, Ross, if it seems, it spins. as the great Shane Warne
would say. So they say.
Yeah. The other guy, the other A in the axis of evil.
Ashington Sundar. Oh, no, sorry.
Akshar Patel, he won man of the match. He bowled the same ball, I don't know, 250 times in this test. And it was a really good ball, wasn't it, Max?
Yeah, it was in exactly the right spot to bowl when you're a left-arm spinner, so that's one good start. And then when you've got a little bit of assistance as well from the surface, which makes that same ball actually end up being 250 different balls, it's a very potent combination. But I mean, he bowled really, really well, fully deserving of the Man of Match award, I think. Just absolutely decimated England's right-handers.
Ross, what would you have done if you were out there to combat Akshar?
Try to play straight instead of playing for all the spin and all the turn that was there. It seemed like England again were in that position where I know the ball was turning a little bit, but a lot of the wickets were the Roston Chase delivery of the arm ball. And even, England don't seem to play any slow bowling that can possibly just go on well at all. So yeah, I would have tried that. Probably failed multiple times, but still, it would have been a better plan than Johnny Bairstow's.
I mean, I think England would argue there were some reasons. It was quite difficult to play today, but I think you do have to tip your cap, don't you? Akshar Patel, man of the match, deserved it. A pretty awesome start to his test career. Is he better than Jadeja, Max? If Jadeja was fit for the fourth test, would you bring him in if you were the head honcho at the BCCI?
It would be really difficult, wouldn't it, to justify it? But I would. I think Jadeja is a phenomenal player, and he would be the first choice. And I think Jadeja on that pitch would have been a pretty nasty thing to face as well. But I mean, he offers a lot with the bat as well and in the field. I think Jadeja is all round such a good cricketer. I would find it difficult to leave him out. You maybe just bring in Jadeja for Washington Sundar instead and have them both. You're going to go with two right arm off spinners. Why not go with two left arm off spinners?
You're forgetting about the big boy. Where is Shahbaz Nadeem coming in here?
He's not.
He deserves a shot, Max.
We'll move on from that.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I would say, yeah, is that I've seen quite a lot of Akshar Patel. And he doesn't normally rag the ball as much as he does. To answer the Jadeja question I just posed to you, Max, I think Jadeja is a much better bowler. And I think Akshar Patel was kind of like the perfect guy for this pitch. Bowled pretty quickly, got some to grip, some slid on. If that had been like a typical IPL deck, he'd have bowled sort of a nice spell of naught for 25, been knocked around for a few singles and not really scared anyone. Do you kind of get what I mean?
Yeah.
In terms of him being a bit one-dimensional. Anyway, you know, look, man of the match. He certainly humiliated England. let's talk, before we get into England's batting, which will be fun. England really, you know, they put on a display in this test match. Joe Root, he took a five for eight. It's, you know, he, after the game, he was talking about this and he kind of said, maybe me getting a fiver was indicative of the kind of surface and the kind of behaviour we were getting out of the ball. Ross, you've seen a lot of cricket in your life. You've seen a lot of fifers. Was this, as it statistically appears, one of the great bowling performances?
It was a bit weird, right? So Max, you kind of said it when Rohit Sharma got out, kind of gut before wicket, or whatever was overlapping that was hitting off stump. It was a bit of, I don't know, for some reason India thought they were England, and they just decided to completely lose their marbles and go, "Oh, we're going to try and hit everything. There's a ball with our name on it here." I mean, Joe Root's wicket when he got Pant out was, I'm not sure what Pant was doing, kind of dangled.
Dreadful shot, absolutely dreadful shot.
It dangled the bat outside. You're not saying that that's a classic wicket that you should expect. Akshar Patel, no idea what he was doing, charging him second. He'd been at the crease 2 minutes and he decided to just go, "I'm going to smash Joe Root for six." It was just like, okay, mate, that's gone really well into the fridge.
Well, maybe he thought it was his test match. He'd done well with the ball. Give it a go.
Mr. TFC Washington Sundar, who is sitting there celebrating as he didn't have to sit through another kind of day of doing absolutely nothing. But he got a good ball, I thought. Like, it was one of those bits where, fair play to Joe Root, pitched on middle, turned, hit top of off. Like, as an off spinner, you are dreaming of that delivery to a left hander. And then with, what was it? He had, did he get Ashwin out as well? Was it Ashwin?
Ashwin skied a sweep, yes. Didn't he?
Yes,
for
sweep.
Fifer.
And he kind of tossed it up, and I thought he kind of got that wicket. He actually outsmarted Ashwin on that bit, I think. I kind of thought that he put it into that area, goes, "Go on, see if you can smash me for six." And
outfoxed the fox.
Indeed he did. And then Bumrah LBW, like, Bumrah is a walking wicket. The fact he got a 50 in an A-list game in Australia is just hilarious.
Look, Bumrah is the creme de la creme when it comes to bowling.
If you're not allowed to bowl at Bumrah for your 400th wicket, then Archer is second best.
Well, yeah, I mean, Archer's not amazing, but Bumrah. Yeah, so it looks so bad.
Like, yeah, it kind of looks like somebody's given him some batting. Sorry, mate. It's like he doesn't carry it around with him. It's that bit where, go on, mate, here's a helmet, here's a bat in the bottom of the bag, go and crack on. But yeah, as fifers go, it's not a world beater, but 5 for 8, you're not going to disagree with that, are you?
I think I would say with Joe Root is that he bowled nicely. I mean, obviously he's not like going to set the world on fire with his off spin, and he's a part time off spinner, but he's a good part time off spinner, and he did bowl quite nicely. He put it in the right areas, and the ball did the rest for him. But I think I thought he bowled quite well, and you wouldn't be surprised to see him get a few wickets in that situation. But getting 5 for 8 is just, yeah, it tells a story for me.
I also thought Jack Leach bowled really well, actually. Yep. I think Jack Leach has grown into the winter tour, and like we thought he would with a bit of match practice. But he looked really threatening and bowled in great areas. And with a bit more control, to England, didn't go for loads and loads of boundaries as he was in the previous test matches. So well done, Leachy.
England batting then, because, you know, as it turned out, England had an opportunity to blag their way to a win in this game. But it all went wrong, and it all went wrong immediately. Crawley kind of went back to what he should have gone forward to. Got nowhere near. It looked like he was playing French cricket badly.
I was like, it looked like he was blindfolded.
Yeah.
Just guessing.
And then Pairstow.
Oh, God.
That's the only note I've got written down here.
Yeah.
Sorry. Let me at it. Right, ready? Right, so...
You first.
Pairstow, what, for second ball, LBW... overturned, and I mean, it did again. We said yesterday that
first
you could
ball,
see
it. Wasn't it? Wasn't that the first ball?
Second ball of the innings, I was talking about.
Oh, so, right.
But the you could see the aggression go straight to the eye, filling up again like the old angry meter that's in his body. Overturned, he's just like, I'm feeling great. This is my time. Hundreds on the cards. Big Johnny Pairstow. Clean bowled. There was a huge gap between his bat and pad.
Probably about a three stump sized.
It was completely comprehensive. And I, for one, really hope that is the end of Johnny Bairstow's test career. England's spin specialist number three that he was brought in as. It's just really quite a staggering. I've got some notes here around his last seven test innings in India. 0, 6, 0, 0, 18. 0-0. That is not good enough for any cricketer. Jofra Archer is going to get a better record than that. And Jofra Archer can't bat in test cricket.
It's not a spin specialist, is it? You don't send your spin specialist to India for those returns.
Johnny Bairstow, the saviour. He's got an average in tests of 35. So to bring him in at number three and expect him to save the England team is just nonsense. But I mean, after that performance, I don't want to see him playing tests for England again. Let him concentrate on smacking the ball all over the place at the top of the order in the One Days and T20, because he is unbelievably good at that. But that was not good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
wickets spoke for themselves.
To play the sweep first ball, and like that looked out. That was one of those ones where you see the ball track, and you're like,
really?
and then to then like, he's obviously got away with that, and he's thought to himself, you know, I'm going to have a reset here. I'm going to dig in. Doesn't even dig in for one ball. Just plays his premeditated plod down the wicket.
He doesn't look at the ball, does he? That's what I reckon. He's just like, if I put my bat here, I'm going to be absolutely fine.
He's got the Brandenburg gate is only marginally bigger than Johnny Bairstow's gate for that. Probably we'll see him in the next test though, because England.
But I think Jack, it completely sums up how badly England got this. So, I mean, we talked yesterday about England being kind of duped here. But the fact that Joe Root took a fifer, then their saviour, Lord and saviour Johnny Bairstow coming and getting a pair, it just shows you how badly Ed Smith, Chris Silverwood and Joe Root got this selection.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. There were three of the players in the team were just total baggage, which is never great.
Which is what you want in test cricket.
Especially when they're baggage without the bat.
And I'm not talking about any of the guys who are baggage with the bat as well, because let's be honest, like, Ollie Pope honestly doesn't know, like, he knows which end of the bat he's supposed to be holding. It's like he's read about cricket and then been told to go and do it.
Well, he sees Ashwin and then his brain melts into jelly. That's
not ideal, is it, when Ashwin's going to be bowling half the overs?
Not what you want.
You need a little bit more fortitude than that. I'd like Bairstow, Ross, you've just read out his innings list in India. Not amazing. Sibley in the right environment is worth having around. I think Crawley looked pretty good on day one. And then, you know, like, you kind of never know with Stokes, although it doesn't look like his doesn't look like Asia's really his continent, does it?
Not with Ashwin belt.
Anyway, you know, England batting, they were rubbish. They deserve to lose. I don't think anyone can argue with that. Yeah, but
They were placed in a difficult situation, and they made it a lot harder for themselves.
Yeah, mm. Well, we'll talk in a bit about where maybe they'll go next from this, because I think they can improve on their performance today, basically. But we probably should, in the interest of balance, because this test has lasted like about 5 minutes, talk about the elephant. The muddy elephant, the dusty, clayey, muddy elephant in the room. I mean, like, you could have, if you played on an elephant, you'd have probably got more consistent bounce. to be honest, this pitch was an absolute dog. And I don't mean that in terms of like, it's not what we're used to, or it didn't have anything for the seamers.
Yeah, it's unfair. Not.
Yeah, it was. It's because all of those things are they're fine. They're part of Test cricket. This though, it absolutely murdered the contest and basically reduced the game to an embarrassment. I don't think like if that's Test cricket, I'm not going to recommend anyone watches it. Which wasn't interesting. Watching people who are paid like £1 million a year to hit a ball with a stick, being completely unable to do that because of the surface you're playing on is not acceptable.
Much in the same way as it's dire, it's absolutely dire to watch a game where the first team to bat scores 600 and the second team to bat scores 500 and you've drawn it because there's absolutely nothing in it for the bowlers. This was sort of the antithesis to that, wasn't it? It was just a case of like, and you know, we can, yesterday I was looking at it thinking, okay, England batted badly and they could have done things to do a bit better. And then today with the same thing happening to India and Joe Root taking 5 wickets and all of that, you sort of have to actually take a step back and go, the facts present themselves, and the facts suggest that it wasn't good.
So I think there are a few things to bear in mind this as well, because we don't want to be accused of being like one-eyed England fans or something like that. Yeah, because like, let's be honest, I think my favourite podcasts and probably my favourite England performances are when they go into full kamikaze mode and are hilarious, get absolutely destroyed by West Indies away or something like that. That's probably my favourite series in the last few years, is when England went to West Indies and Roston Chase was taking wickets and then they were really scared of the ball for a test. And then they were like, oh, wait, we have Mark Wood the whole time. Why don't we use him? England carnage is funny. I'm an England fan, but I also quite like it when England lose. What I think frustrated me in this match was the massive inconsistency in the way the ball came through. So you were basically getting balls that were pitching the same area and spin virtually to first slip, or slide, like skid off the surface and slide on a little bit low and beat the bat of pace on the inside edge, which meant that like you were doomed either way. As a batter, we saw batters bowled because they played for it going sort of straight on in its span. We saw lots of batters play for spin and it goes straight on and they're pinned LBW or bowled themselves.
I think XR Patel was the perfect example of that, wasn't it? It's what we were saying. He bowled 250 balls in the same spot, and you know, on a normal second day pitch, or even like a typically spinning Indian second day pitch, you wouldn't expect them to do all those different things and to be a position where it's almost impossible to know what to do.
Yeah, this is it. And if you're listening to this and you're saying it's all about bowler skill and stuff, yeah, absolutely, I kind of agree with you on that. Like landing the ball in the right area is a skill that you need to be good at cricket. But unless like Axar and Ashwin have both developed a perfectly disguised straight on one since like the last test 5 days ago, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the combination of the ball and that wicket. And look, they are good bowlers, but you know, to kind of compound that, Joe Root and Jack Leach would also have had to come up with a perfectly disguised straight on one. And that would be really weird, wouldn't it? That would be really weird.
I'm pretty sure the entirety of Joe Root's bowling coaching this year happened this morning under Jeetan Patel.
Ross, any opinions?
So you can't get away from the fact that what for today saw 120 runs get scored for 17 wickets. There's no way around that. I think the pink ball probably has more to do with it than the pitch, is my kind of opinion on the matter. I think that a lot of the dismissals we actually got were, as you say, people playing back to ones they thought were going to turn. There wasn't terrific application across either of the teams for a couple of the deliveries. But ultimately, you do have to play on what's up in front of you. And England have stuck with the tactic of rotation and backing certain players, which I think is fine. But also, England turned up with 7 batsmen after getting rolled in the previous test with 4 number 11s. We can blame the pitch, you can blame the ball. It comes again down to England's selection. We turned up in a completely different world. We weren't playing at the Modi Stadium. We were playing at Headingley or something like that. It was a complete farce from England. And I think it's a bit too of an easy excuse just to blame it all on the pitch of the ball.
I think that's fair. I think actually if England had got their selection right, it would have been close. Right, yeah. Another couple of batsmen, one to get a lucky 20 in the first innings or so, maybe we didn't bowl with the fast bowlers for the first 10 overs of India's first innings and go straight in with the spin. What's your
argument here, Max? Are you arguing that England should go back in time, warn themselves, and pick, I don't know, who are the spare batters? Dan Lawrence can come in at number 8.
Hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? I'm just saying that Ross has got a point that, we can't just sit here and blame the pitch for everything. Obviously, the fact of the matter are the pitch was bad because you were getting to a point where on the first day they had to come out with a basher because the bowlers couldn't stand up. And then they spent half an hour this morning sweeping the top layer of the pitch into the bin. Now, don't sit there and tell me that is a good test cricket pitch, because if you do, you can't possibly be doing that with a straight face, because that's nonsense. But again, like I think we said at Chennai, that's not necessarily the reason that England lost, and we're not being whinging poms saying, oh, it's not fair, the pitch is shit, that's why we lost. It's just like the fact is ostensibly the pitch was bad because it was bad. You can see it was bad with your eyes, and the game was over in less than 2 days.
Here's a couple of other things that I think are worth flagging, or that I think are like red flags that this was a dumpster fire of a wicket. 18 of the batters across the test of the 30 wickets were out bowled or LBW. In normal matches, it's about a third of players, so that's twice as high as you would normally expect. Like, test match batters don't normally get bowled. Like, it's really rare, particularly the guys who aren't bowlers. They don't normally get bowled. And lots of them were, because they just had absolutely no idea where the ball was going to go. And what we need to impress, because we don't want to get hammered in our comment section, basically. It makes us sad. What we want to impress is that we didn't think the contest was unfair between England and India. We think the contest was unfair between bat and ball.
Yeah.
It was too easy for the bowler to take wickets, and it was too hard for the batter to score runs. Now, some batters thrive in those situations a little bit better, and some players have the game for it. Rohit Sharma is a great example, because what he does better than most batters in the world is put the bad ball away. So even on these bad wickets, he will still score runs quite quickly. And so he doesn't need 150 balls to build an innings.
And just to jump in very quickly, that's where you'd have to praise the Indian bowlers and say, how many bad balls were there? They kept it really tight, and that.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think, fundamentally, that's where the kind of edge is for India, is that they have Virat and they have Rohit and they have Pant, and they're all batters who will take the game away from a team that bowls any bad balls, even on these kind of crap wickets, let's be honest, or even on these wickets that favour bowlers. Whereas England, really, who have they got? Stokes, and he's not great against spin. So you're in trouble. I will say one other thing as well, and this is really just bugging me, basically. People, the retort today, I don't know why this has come up, but people are saying, oh, in England, everything's a green seamer. Now, that is partly true, and there are reasons for that, mainly because it fucking rains here all the time. Like, it's actually quite hard to put a pitch out that isn't damp, because it rains 10 days every month. But what I will say about cricket in England versus cricket in India, it is way more balanced, and I think as a consequence of that, way more entertaining. And there are numbers to back this up as well. So if we look over the last 7 or 8 years of English cricket, England have lost one test at home last year to the West Indies, nearly lost another to Pakistan. In 2019, they lost two tests at home. 2018, two in 2017, two in 2016, three in 2015. They managed to lose a series to Sri Lanka in 2015. Two in 2014. And you have to go all the way back to when we smashed the Australians 3-0 in 2013 for a year where England didn't lose a test at home. And in most of those, they've lost two. England lose like 30 or 40% of their games at home. And they probably, to be fair, they dominate in the others, and they have the players to dominate in the others. And the way we prepare wickets and the ball that is used in England definitely benefit Anderson and Broad, who are the best two exponents of that type of bowling in world cricket. And so there is a big edge for England, but it is actually possible to come to England and win. You're still playing the same game. And I felt a little bit like this was just a bit too extreme. Should we talk about that? Do you have a point, Ross?
No, I just think it comes down to there's no one who is listening to this podcast and this to this YouTube, whatever you call it, around going, oh, a test cricket is supposed to last 5 days. I'm so happy that four innings has happened in a day and a half and the test match is over. Nobody is saying that.
I've been done out of 2 days of entertainment.
Yeah, and
100,000 people in India have been done out of going to see test cricket at the new stadium for the first time.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that, Max. And for some people, right, it is about the result and only the result. But the majority of cricket fans and the majority of people listening to this podcast, they and the people that we've interacted with on Twitter, whatever else, they know that cricket is actually not based exactly around the result. And it is based on the journey, it's based around time. It is based upon seeing these people are at the pinnacle of the sport. And yet they have seen a day and a half of just drab shit. And it's just a bit like, great. Who's the real winner here?
Well, that's it. So this was the shortest test match since 1935. You've segued nicely onto the next point here, Ross. That 1935, what's that, 76, 86 years ago? Not great. It comes back to that point on extremism, I think. Like, we all want to see different conditions. If we went to India and the ball didn't spin, it would be weird, wouldn't it? Mm. Like, we would, as viewers, we would be like, why? Why is this happening? We want to see Ashwin bowl. We want to see, I don't know if we want to see Patel bowl exactly, but we want to see good bowlers bowling. We want to see great players of spin building innings. And we want to see that gladiatorial
contest.
You want to
see different skills tested.
Yeah, exactly. I think this just took that a little bit to the extreme. Ashwin doesn't need to be playing in a sandpit to get English batters out. He can do it. He can do it on a wicket that goes to the fourth day. And I think your point about people really wanting to win is interesting as well, Ross, because I think that some of this probably comes from Virat, doesn't it? Like, he is a guy who thinks that winning cricket matches for India is absolutely the most important thing in the world. And, you know, maybe as the Indian captain...
When you're the Indian captain, it probably is.
He's right. But should Virat Kohli, with that mindset, be the one that is influencing the groundsman to prepare wickets like this? And I don't think we can shy away from the fact that this is obviously a choice. Like, this is a new stadium. Nasser Hussain was talking about how they've shipped in mud and dirt from all around the world, and they store it at the stadium so they can prepare different types of pitches. There's absolutely no chance that this wasn't sort of by design a little bit. And I feel cheated out of my weekend plans. And you know what? Fucking COVID has cheated me out of so much stuff over the last 12 months. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. And that's really why I'm angry.
So I can't
do anything else at the weekend.
so on that, Jack, so when it comes out, there was some bits on Twitter that I kind of saw around talking about the pitch and go, well, India have just gone out and batted and didn't lose a wicket and chased down 50 runs. And it was just like, well, yeah, obviously. They had
open the bowling.
Yeah, they had zero pressure. They've got 3.5 days left to bat if they really wanted to. They've got 10 wickets in hand, a knackered England. Like, England's emotions must have gone, oh my God, we have a chance of winning this, to the first three deliveries of that.
They were also about 30-odd for none in the first innings and got bowled out for 145. So, I mean, As far as irrelevant bits of information go, we've had a few of those sent to us about pitches and things over the last hour or so. It doesn't really add up, I'm afraid.
Yeah, yeah, no matter how good Jack Leach or Joe Root bowled, they were always going to chase down 47 or wherever it was.
I think we probably should have given Broad or Anderson or Archer the new ball in that pace, because we went in with all those seamers and it is still a pink ball, and we did see it. Actually, Ishant and Bumrah got it to move a little bit in the first few overs, and there, that's our, I think that would have been our best option of maybe nicking a couple in the first two overs before going to Joe Root.
I think the pitch was so far gone that
I suppose they probably wouldn't have been able to stand up, would they?
Well, that's part of the problem, but you just couldn't have opened with a quick bowler there. Lads, let's draw a line under the pitch. Hopefully we're not talking about this in the future. We don't really want to be talking about mud in India, and that's what we're doing for half an hour a week at the moment. It's ridiculous.
Again, it's detracting from the fact that Ashwin is an absolute magician and, you know, the second fastest bowler to 400 wickets behind Muralitharan. Just like to remind people how good he actually is, because I don't think a lot, especially in this country, people actually appreciate how good Ashwin is.
So he's amazing.
A little reminder there, just like to compare him to someone who people have all definitely heard of as being one of the all-time greats.
We're gonna skip over the banter era of Indian umpiring, because we did cover that reasonably extensively yesterday, although Ben Folks got a bad one. We're gonna skip it.
I think Joe Root got the other side of this, so I think that maybe they balanced out.
So all I was going to say is that I really enjoyed our bit yesterday when we were talking about the cameraman and how the umpires have to pretty much indicate to the cameraman where you need to look at the camera crew. What I loved today was Jofra Archer getting out LBW to possibly the worst shot of the lot. And they immediately panned to two fans who were double fist pump celebrating that they'd got Jofra Archer out like first ball.
It was Ashwin's
400th wicket, to be fair.
I think they were like, yes, the big one.
Lads,
let's quickly do where next for England. We'll do a proper podcast over the weekend or early next week where we preview that, and we'll probably go over this match again, because why not? My thoughts are I hope the next match is better, a bit more balanced. I hope it lasts longer than 2 days.
I hope it lasts one day. Why hang about? Let's get this done with and move on to the T20s.
I'm really looking forward to the white ball stuff, because I think England are going to really, really be up for that. They'll have their best team back together. I think Bairstow's going to have a point to prove. Bairstow in white ball cricket. Boomer's going in the crowd. What can England do to improve in the next 5 or 6 days, Max?
How long we got?
No, you've literally got like two sentences. We've got a few
pick a better team and stop missing the ball.
Ross, and what should India do to stay on top?
I think they probably nailed it. I can't imagine that we're going to get a much different pitch, if I'm perfectly honest, from the one we've got today. Like, I'll be surprised if the game goes further than 3 days. I just think England look like they're absolutely shot to bits. And just even the thought of coming up against some half-decent spin bowling, which doesn't offer too many bad deliveries, is a bit too daunting. As for me, what I'll be doing differently, I mean, this weekend, Jack, you said you're not sure about your plans. I mean, tomorrow is work day. Be a bit more productive for the whole country, so that's a positive. You get to spend even more time with your housemates and your family that you've not spent enough time with during lockdown throughout COVID. So what I can recommend is that you pretend that there is cricket on. Don't try not to make it clear that England have lost today. Pretend cricket is on and perhaps put on a happier rerun. So actually put an England win on the TV.
Ashes 2005.
2005 Ashes, yeah.
Break it out. And
still using that one as our example.
Oh, yes.
Or we could have Aggers saying Lyon has dropped the ball on repeat for
PSL.
Or do an umpiring course. So when you see these umpiring decisions, like I did on Saturday, I was inspired by how bad the umpiring was that I did an umpiring course so that I can critique from a professional standpoint, from umpire to umpire.
Good. A few questions from the internet. I'll go one each, and I don't really care about answering any of these. What's wrong with Jofra Archer, Max?
He's playing in conditions that aren't exactly suited to his skill set.
Oh, a really interesting answer from you there.
There's nothing wrong with him at all, is there? It's fine. Like, there isn't anything wrong with Jofra Archer. He's just like having as much of a good time as the rest of England.
I've got a theory about his elbow problem, though. He's played too much PlayStation or Xbox, and he's got RSI.
RSI.
Yeah, good point, Ross. I hadn't thought about that. Akio Revta. Let's talk about the pink ball. Ross, what's wrong with the pink ball?
I think there's... Is it science to back it up that you'd have what at least 7 centimeters of I can't remember what it is, seven I don't know
grass
what it yeah grass on the
not
top
seven
of the
centimeters
just seven centimeters the ball should be
just going to play like old Trafford the Man U ground.
So it's apparently it's supposed to have seven something
seven
on,
millimeters
on
millimeters
that's less than 1 centimeter.
Well,
you've got 10 times the amount of grass.
It's Jurassic Park, the pampas grass kind of stuff.
You need at least 7 meters of grass.
So, but I mean, if you're going to use a pink ball, at least listen to the people who make the pink ball and have tested the pink ball about the bare minimum of the conditions it's going to work in, and then maybe we'll have a good contest.
Okay. Four Seat Podcasts have said that why are England complaining about the pitches here when in Johannesburg recently and Adelaide, Indian batters have been hurt, Max?
Because that's a completely irrelevant point to what we're discussing.
Good,
like,
fine.
You can complain about the pitch here, and that is independent of other factors that have happened in the past.
Remember, mental pain is just as bad as physical pain. And that's what England are going through right now.
Ross, finally with you then. How good was Rohit against the spin from TAA?
He's different gravy, isn't he? Like he's the Don. So there's no getting away from it. He was classed above in this Test match. Won them the Test match in the last Test. So he's different gravy.
Really good.
Hats off.
I think we should never do a daily show again. It's quite frankly been a disaster for Test cricket. And I can only think that there's some sort of causal link between us talking about it and what just transpired. So back to weekly shows for us. Before we say goodbye forever or until Sunday, Max or Ross, can you let our listeners know what they need to do?
Yeah, they can like and subscribe, but beneath me on YouTube, and follow us at the Cricket Pod on Instagram and Twitter, which is underneath Ross.
Take us on in the comments. That's what I want. Take us on.
Jack's got nothing to do with this evening, so he'll just sit there furiously typing.
I was doing that last night. I was just replying to people. I know, trying to get them to come back to the video. Anyway, thank you very much for watching or listening. Goodbye.
See you later.
Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.